youth pastor went and signed up at the local schools, and now he's a substitute bus driver just so he could reach out to young people. And it's working. The kids already love him. Principals want him to go full-time, and on and on. But I appreciate the passion, the burden that these folks have for the young people and our Sunday school department. Had the Holy Ghost to break out last Sunday in the Sunday school department. And tears, weeping, crying, worshiping, praising, praying. And I love to hear reports like that. Amen. All right. Everybody say, Lord, help us. God bless you. You're seated just now. Get comfortable. Let's go to the Word of God. It is Bible study night, and so I've got some Bible for you to study. All right. Let's look at Proverbs 11 and verse 30. It's our key verse tonight for what we're going to talk about. And tonight we're going to talk about that spiritual fruit. Spiritual fruit. Amen. It's exactly what we have need of this evening. Amen. And so we want to be producers of spiritual fruit. Can you say amen? Praise the Lord. All right. And so Proverbs 11:30. Short, sweet, and simple, but it says the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. It's almost confusing how one moment he's talking about fruit, and then he's talking about a tree, and then of all things he's talking about a soul winner. And so we're going to pull all this together tonight, and we're going to talk about it for just a little while. And with living for God. Now, this is the group that I can talk to like this because you're hungry and you're thirsty. You wouldn't waste your time on Tuesday night. But you're here. And you're here because you want to hear things, experience things, and learn things. And so with Christian, with the title Christian, comes awesome responsibility. Now, the fluff crowd don't want to hear that. But the crowd that wants to be responsible for revival, they need to hear that. And you want to hear that because it's a part of the Word of God. And so with the word Christian, it's not only associated with blessing. It is that as well. We know that. And everything God does is a blessing. And so especially when he does it to me. Hallelujah. And so you can say the same thing. But there are always those that are in it, not just for the blessing, but if I could quote whoever said it, I don't know who originally said it, but they said, we're in it to win it. Amen. We're not just in this for a blessing. We're in it to find out what our responsibility is and what we're supposed to be doing and who we are and the fingerprint of God upon our ministry and where God wants to take us and how God wants to operate. It's not about what I decide and what I choose and wherever I go and whatever I do. Amen. It's about whatever God wants me to be and what he wants me to do. And so all of that is so associated with the fruit of a Christian and that spiritual fruit that a Christian should produce. And so we're going to go into that. There's a statement in World Book Encyclopedia, Volume 7, page number 470, which is a good foundation for the study tonight. To the plant itself, the fruit is a matter of life and death because of the seed that it has within. There's more to fruit than food for the human body and for human consumption. It's simply a fringe benefit that most fruit is edible. For its real purpose is reproduction. You cannot separate fruitfulness from reproduction. Amen. Somebody said, he's a fine man. He's a great Christian. They've been living for God for 18 years. What's the fruit? Well, what do you mean? What are they producing? Well, I don't want to talk about that. And so the Bible says, by their what? we shall what? We shall know them. We're going to know them by their fruit, by what they're producing. What are they putting out? Amen. Praise God. And so, when an individual speaks of fruit in a Christian, they've got you must include soul winning. You've got to ensoul. And this is not a lesson about soul winning, but it's in there because it's part of spiritual fruit. Fruitfulness is essential if you want to please God. That's when if becomes the biggest word in the Bible. A little two-letter words, the biggest word in the Bible when you start saying things like if you want to please God. If you're in it to get pleased yourself, you are in for a rude awakening. Amen. And because God made people, and people are the only problem God ever had. Everything else done pretty much what it was supposed to do. But here we come with a free will. And we have two things that can be used against us, I guess, and that's the power of choice and the power of privilege. So we have a choice, and we have the privilege to act upon that choice with no restraint. Because the Lord, even though we're made lesser than the angels, we have more opportunity than the angels. You see, I can make up my mind tonight that I'm going to see somebody saved. And I am going to be saved myself, come hell or high water against me. I don't care what comes against me, and I can. So can you. Amen. Or I can say, well, I'm done tonight. This is my last Bible study. I'm going to go smoke a reefer after service. And I can. Isn't that strange? That's crazy, isn't it? But that's the way we're uniquely designed. And so we can be in this thing for the glory of God, or we can be in this thing to find out how it can help me and be better for me and fit me and me and me. And all those me's. Whole house full of me's. That's what I want. But we've got to understand tonight there's something serious about this fruitfulness thing. There's something very serious about spiritual fruit. And producing for the glory of God. So when you say Christian, you're talking about some deep-seated responsibilities. And we need to act upon those. And first we need to know what they are. I guess that's my job. So here we go. And so we don't give points in our Bible studies. I hope you've caught on. We give splinters. If I give you points, you'll forget them, but man, you'll feel a splinter for a long time. So here's the first splinter. Amen. All right? Let's look at where the Bible says, by their fruit. In other words, the mark of identification. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 17 through 20, write that scripture down, and I want you this Bible study to continue when you go home. You got all week to get all this covered and come back next Tuesday night to get some more. Matthew 7, 17 through 20, Jesus declares that one is identified by the fruit that they bear. And so, you might say, I don't like that, but that's just the way it is. The fruit that you bear, amen, is how people are going to know you. It is impossible for evil to produce good, and it's impossible for good to produce evil. Therefore, the fruit that it gives identifies the tree. If the product displayed on the limbs is ungodly, it is impossible for the tree to be godly. God sends preachers, ministry, evangelists, and teachers to challenge the believer to righteousness before the unrighteousness of the heart is exposed. Very few individuals can identify every seed that you see. But there are specialists who have no difficulty doing that. And so God sends them to minister to us so these unholy seeds can be purged from our hearts. Does that make sense? Even foliage like leaves and sprouts is not easily identified by the common man, but there are experts who can identify any leaf presented to them. Some of you are expert at identifying poison ivy. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. I mean, you know, I couldn't tell you. I think I know. And the reason is I can rub poison ivy on me and never break out. I've never had an issue with poison ivy. And there goes that North Carolina knock on wood. I don't know. I think I can identify poison ivy. But if I had a problem with it, then I could identify it. And so many of you can. But there's other things that we can't identify. And so the Lord sends the fivefold ministry through, and on many occasions, to identify these things and minister to us and help us. They're not there. They're not here. They're not preaching. They're not teaching. They're not singing. They're not doing that to upset us, to make us mad. Amen. Amen. They're doing that to grow us. Does anybody want to grow? Anybody want to mature? Anybody want to produce? Well, you are going to produce whether you like it or not, and it will be after your kind. So whatever kind of fruit you're putting out, that's what kind of fruit you're going to produce. And it needs to be productive for the kingdom of God, or it will not be. It is, or it isn't. Amen? And so, few individuals, they have a hard time identifying. You're not going to work this out on your own. You cannot do that. We need one another, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. We need one another desperately, praise God. Amen. And so, you know, I mean, it's easy to love those that love you back, but it's harder to pray for those. That's why the Bible distinctively says, pray for those that misuse you, mistreat you, da-da-da-da, love them, care for them, da-da-da-da. Because even the way they treat you is going to teach you something if the way of righteousness is in you. They will teach you something about yourself. And that is so true. So, the preachers will identify the foliage. But make no mistake, most all of us understand fruit. Am I right? Praise God. So, most people can identify the various fruits. So, it's by these that a person is known. If one persists and ungodliness until the fruit is born, all will know the condition of that individual. All the verbal proclamations one can make will not override the actions and the deeds of a person that is producing the wrong fruit. That fruit identifies that individual. I wanted to say that a lot of times right here while I gave you this splinter, because I'm fixing to walk away from it, but I want you to understand that. People are going to know us by the fruit that we bear. Amen. Praise God. So, what's going on with all of that? Well, we are ordained to bear fruit. Look at John 15 and 16. Amen. John 15 and 16. You have not chosen me, but I've chosen you. That's different, isn't it? I accept the Lord as my personal Savior. Honey, he accepted you before you accepted him. The Bible distinctively says the Spirit draws. And so it is. You have not chosen me. I chose you and ordained you that you should what? Go and bring forth what? And that your fruit, not the fruit of your church, not the fruit of your pastor, not the fruit of everyone, but your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. In other words, if it's a fruit that remains, that's a good fruit. And so Jesus wasn't just interested in saving man so he could live a leisure and a life of bliss. But God's children, they've been commissioned with a task, and the fruit that they bear helps them carry out this mission. We are on a mission, right? And we need to be on this mission together so we can gather. Amen. So with the Lord's anointing, one's fruit will remain. It is God who preserves our labors. Now, the things that one does in Him will remain, and they will stand the test for a lifetime. The true purpose of life is found in the truth in this simple passage. Human beings are fulfilled when they are fruitful for God. We will be fulfilled only when we're fruitful for God. Amen. So it is. Jesus' words in Matthew 7 have already shown that there's more than one kind of fruit. A tree can produce evil or it can produce good. There's a warning in Deuteronomy 22 and 9 about mixing seed. Did you know that? And in essence, this practice will destroy the garden if you mix the seed. Jesus declared that it's impossible for an evil tree to bear good fruit or a good tree to bear evil fruit. Jude 12 shows an apostate church as one whose fruit is fallen and it has withered. Individuals that did have good fruit, but now it's just withered away. Proverbs 10 and 16 contrast the righteous with the evil. Life comes from the labor of the righteous, while the fruit of the wicked is sin. Romans 6:22 pictures a good man bearing fruit unto holiness. Let's look at that. Romans 6:22, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit now. How is it? What kind of fruit do you have now? Unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. Ladies and gentlemen, we're getting ready to go through the holiness thing, and we're going to talk about the mark of the best. Amen. But understand me clearly. Holiness is so much more than the way you dress. Holiness is your spirit. Holiness is your attitude. Holiness is your gratitude, your thankfulness. Amen. I don't want to blow a good sermon, but I'm getting ready to preach spiritual Alzheimer's. How that we can just be blessed. God can give us a miracle. He can do great things. He can just almost raise the dead for us. Our finances, bless us with a family, bless us with children, bless us with all of this. And then all of a sudden, I forgot everything. And here we are trying to love you anyway and trying to get to you and trying to help and trying. And it's as if you don't even know us. What's going on? The tree has changed. The fruit has changed. It's been rearranged and it's withering. It's going away. It's apostate. It's dying. It's withering. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says, awake the giant. They were a giant, but they're withering now. Not so much a giant. Hello? Am I making sense? Praise God. And so we're talking about the contrast of fruit. Amen. And all of that that goes with it. You got to make this choice. Cannot produce both good and evil. Why? Because a double-minded man is unstable in how many of his ways? All of his ways. James 1 and 8. Amen. The correct seed will produce the correct fruit. Praise God. All right, let me give you a splinter. Everybody feeling okay? All these splinters? Praise God. Let's look at roots and fruits. Praise God. A beautiful principle is expounded in Isaiah 37, 31. Isaiah 37 and 31. And the remnant that has escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. Amen. Somebody said, I want to be like an oak. really? Have you ever noticed how the wind can just blow them over? And their roots, I mean, one oak tree can have a root pattern that covers this whole altar space, and it'll be about that deep. But you take an evergreen like a pine or a cedar, which incidentally, their roots are so deep, they're forever green. Anyway, the root goes at least half the distance that the tree is tall. So the taller the evergreen, the deeper the root. Let's get the root first before we desire to be seen. Present ourselves before the surface. Let's get the root deep. And the only way we're going to get the root deep is in private devotion with God, in our private relationship with the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, if you'll get your roots deep, amen, and your meditation deep, and your prayer life deep, you get your consecration deep, I would never have to ask you to worship God again. I'd never have to ask you to get out into the aisle and worship the Lord and still watch you sit there like a statue. I'd never have to. Hey, you'd be the first one. You say, you want somebody to worship God? I'm standing in line right now. Amen. I'm so thankful God saved me. I look for an opportunity to praise Him. I look for the privilege to praise Him. I look for the honor to praise Him. Amen. I don't want to look like God ought to be happy I'm here. Hallelujah. I'm happy God's here. Amen. And so, listen, the root is what can't be seen. And if we don't spend the time in privacy to get a deep relationship with God, it will never shine in the public because it's not there. Hello? And so you can dress it apostolic all you want to. You can talk it apostolic. You can walk it apostolic. But if the roots aren't there, they're not there. And it cannot produce what it should. But if they're being produced, there's nothing a devil can bring against you. There's nothing a disgruntled sister can bring against you. There's nothing anybody can come against you with that can slow you down, stop you, sit you down, shut you up. Because the roots are so deep, I don't blow over that easy. All right, I'm going to settle down and teach now. Hallelujah. But that's the difference. That's roots that produces fruit. Praise God. No man can see the root structure beneath the earth, but everybody admires the beauty of that which hangs on the limbs. Some would try to mimic fruitfulness, but it can't be done. True fruit has a true root. Cosmetics are not needed if the real thing exists. Amen. Splinter time. Chastening and purging. Wow. There are several references to purging in the Bible. And the limbs of a tree have got to be trimmed often to aid the fruit bearing. Listen, we get to preaching. We get to teaching. I do have to pastor this church. And so... It's not always going to be, you know, butter and honey. And it's not always going to be cotton candy. Just sometimes I've got to say things like they need to be said. And you have no business taking that personal. Because I never mean it personal. I mean it for construction. I mean it for growth. Amen. I hope by now you know that I'm not so simple-minded I'm going to stand up here and fight with somebody. That's just stupid. And so I wouldn't do that. And so if the enemy has hopped up on your shoulder and he is whispering in your left ear, he's picking on you. Why don't you just thump him off in Jesus' name and say, it's for my better good. It's for my better good. And then the angel on the other shoulder is going to say, that's right. Amen. And so the fruit of the Spirit, amen. It's only a benefit tonight if we do a true balance. And so I want us to look real quickly here tonight at the works of the flesh. I'm sure we know what they are because some of us really worked the flesh before we found God. But let's rehash some things and understand what it's all about. The works of the flesh. You can't fully understand the fruit of the Spirit without examining the works of the flesh. So these concepts are expounded in the same passage of Scripture written by Paul in his epistle in the church, to the church in Galatia, in Galatians 5, 19 through 21. It lists the works of the flesh. We'll read those real quick. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murder, drunkenness, revelings, such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The door is not open for you. And so we got to do something with these things. Why is the door of heaven not open for people that are involved? Because these are fruits. And the Lord is not so concerned about you because you're a free moral agent. You can do any of this stuff you want to do anytime you want to, but it's going to affect someone else. That is what the Lord's concerned with, because it's a fruit. It is seed. It will produce after its kind, right? And so it said the works of the flesh are adultery, fornication, uncleanness. And this is uncleanness of the flesh and the spirit. Lasciviousness, unbridled lust, idolatry, witchcraft. Amen. All of this is born, idolatry and witchcraft is born of drug abuse. Have you ever noticed that people that take a lot of drugs, they constantly see devils and demons and things like that? And that's the reason why. All of that's tied together so that you can, when you do drugs and you know, you're all of that, then you send your brain and your mind in a place of neutral. And when you do that, the devil grabs a hold of it and uses it. That's why a lot of times you take a man of God, this has happened many times, but you take a great man of God that has stood for the principle of holiness all of his life and raised up great churches and come down with a disease or Alzheimer's or something that's mentally causes a deficiency, and then before that person passes away, they wind up in a retirement center, and you go see them, and they may cuss you out. You ever experienced anything like that? I mean, they may say the foulest language, and you just have to say, that is not them, because it isn't. With the disease and the problem with their body, put their mind and their mentality and their brain in a state of neutral, and that's when the devil grabs it. And that's why we must be in full faculty. Amen. You can't be a drug addict. And you say, why do you even need to preach that? I'll tell you why. Because when I first came to Lexington, the first thing that blew my mind about one of the other churches in this area was that one of the Sunday school teachers in one of these places was selling the kids marijuana and drugs during the week and teaching them Sunday school on Sunday. One of the parents brought it to the attention of the pastor, and the pastor said, all of us live in a certain portion and a certain degree of grace. Show me that in the Word of God. I thought the ground was level at the cross. Amen. And so, you know, I mean, and I'm not here to teach like that, but I'm here to teach against that. Amen. And so there's no room for any of this if we're going to try our best to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, at the very same time, there's no room for hatred. There's no room for jealousy. There's no room for envy. Hello? Amen. And there's no room for a sour spirit, a rotten attitude. How is that born? Listen, you can say I pray every day and I reach out and I'm my you can say that all you want to, but it ain't happening, because if it was, you'd be producing that kind of fruit. And so here tonight, I want to dig, but I don't want to dig into you. I want to dig into me. Your business is your business, but while I'm sharing this, I'd like to share it with you, because I think it's got the potential to make every one of us better instead of bitter. If you want to be better, why don't you just lift your hands? I'm nearly done, but let's just lift our hands and ask the Lord, God, I want you to take this word tonight and make me better. Amen. Make me better. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And so it is. Praise the Lord. Picture's clear. It's emphatically stated that one who does these things is not going to inherit the kingdom of God, no matter how many claims to salvation they make. By his fruit they shall be known. Notice that fruit. Everybody say fruit. It is it's singular. But now let me tie this into it. There's only one fruit with all these attributes. There's one tree. Are you listening? Jesus Christ is the vine, and we are the branches. As there are nine spiritual gifts listed in the primary record in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there are nine attributes of the fruit of the Spirit mentioned in Galatians 5. You think that was an accident? I don't think so. According to verse 22 and 23, here's what they are. Now I'm going to break these up and we'll be done, but I'm going to break them up for you. Amen. We're talking about the gifts of the Spirit now, the fruits of the Spirit. Number one is love. Now the Greek word used in this passage is agape love. Everybody say agape. In the Greek language, philia means brotherly love. Eros means romantic love, and agape means the love of God. There should be no one on this planet that you do not have agape love for. He loved me while I was still a sinner and could have cared less about what he thought. And if he can love me that way, and now I have him, why can't I love that way? Right? Amen. And so Romans 5 and 5 reveals that the love of God is shed abroad in the heart of every Christian by the Holy Ghost. So there's that one tree that produces several kinds of fruit. This is a spiritual fruit, of course, and so it's a spiritual reproduction. And this love is not conditional, and this love can be tough. Whom he loves, he chasteneth. Now that doesn't mean he chases you. He's not going to chase you everywhere you go. That's not real love. Amen. He's not going to smooth over with you to satisfy and gratify you, to keep you. Amen. He will stay right here at Landmark. And if you stay, he's going to chasten you. And that means he's going to introduce things that aren't going to feel good to the flesh. He's going to introduce things that don't feel good to the spirit. But in the long run, he's going to save your soul, and we'll be with him for eternity. And you know, in the process, you're going to produce good fruit. And that means you're going to be able to point at people in the church and say, they're here because of my Bible study with them. They're here because I witnessed to them at a gas station. They're here because I went to school with them. I went to college with them. I played football with him. Amen. If you've been in this church for 10, 20, 15 years or whatever, amen, and it's hard for you to point at somebody to, hey, we need to rethink something. We need to revisit something. We need to start praying about something again. Right? Amen. Praise God. And so it is. Praise God. Now, the Bible says, whom the Father loves, He chastens. And so, Hebrews 12 and 6. The carnal man can never love the way God loves. And so we cannot afford carnality. Therefore, the only way to have the attribute of love that God has in our lives is for the individual to stay on, for us to stay on our knees until Jesus Christ is formed in us. Amen. Is there anybody that the Lord does not love? Is there anybody that doesn't love the Lord? It doesn't even matter to Him, does it? He wants me to have that same attribute. That way, I can go and nothing will bother me because I have the love of God. All right, the love. And then number two, and we're going to go quickly, but we're going to talk about the joy. This joy from Jesus Christ expressed through the children of God. One cannot give what they do not have. So this joy must first be received from God before it can be imparted to others. Does that make sense? A true Christian exudes joy at all times. Now, this doesn't mean he'll always be giggly. Joy is a state of the heart, not a reaction of circumstances. We don't expect you to giggle if a loved one passes away, but we don't expect that to take away your joy of the Lord. That's when you need it the most. Amen. Number three, a spiritual fruit is peace. Philippians 4 and 7 speaks of a peace that passes all understanding. Amen. You'll be in predicaments and situations and you'll say, you know, if this had happened to me before the Holy Ghost, I would be wanting to have a heart attack. I want to be crawling a shell somewhere and just say goodbye to the world and just leave me alone. But for some reason, I have a peace. Can't understand it, can you? Because it's the peace that passes all understanding. And that's what kind of peace the Lord would have for you. Amen. But that doesn't come accidentally, ladies and gentlemen. That is so against human nature. That is another thing we have to dig and find with our roots. Praise God. What did He say? Amen. In verse 20, John 14 and 27, wasn't it? I think it's 27. Where He said, my peace I give to you. Wow. Wow. Through the infilling of the Holy Ghost, we can have peace in our hearts. A person who is not at peace with themselves cannot be at peace with anyone else. If a person is not at peace with themselves, they cannot be at peace with anyone else. No matter where, what you do, where you go, how you put it, how you reason it, what you say, it just, you can't. And I got another shocker for you. People are the same everywhere you go. You say, well, I'll move to China. I don't understand the language. That way I can just smile all the time. Peace. Everybody say peace. Number four, long-suffering. The Greek word translated for long-suffering means patience, endurance, constancy, steadfastness, and perseverance. Wow. That's long-suffering. Amen. Could be the longest word with this fruit business because it's the hardest to develop. Through long-suffering. Praise God. Number five, gentleness. Amen. In the original text, this refers to moral goodness, and it refers to moral integrity. And the kindness a person of this nature is certain to exhibit. This is just what we're supposed to exhibit. Gentleness. Gentleness is a virtue sometimes that's overlooked, especially in the masculine nature. Sometimes for men, it's hard to be gentle. It's not our nature sometimes, but it's a trait of God. They couldn't be any more man than God was, right? And he wants that expressed in his children. There's nothing weak about being gentle. And then number six is goodness. While gentleness has to do with one's treatment of others, goodness is more an expression of one's character. The Bible said one of the greatest things Jesus did is the Bible said he went about doing good. That's what it said. It just, everywhere he went, he did good. Wow. And so now we understand that goodness is one of the characters and one of the fruits and one of the attributes of spiritual fruit that he wants us to adapt to and adopt. Amen. And so what does it mean? It refers to uprightness of heart. Remember, these are not separate fruits, but various attributes of one fruit, Jesus Christ. Amen. So it is not always possible to completely distinguish them, but it doesn't even have to be desirable to distinguish them. Just produce them. And then number seven is faith. While the gift of faith refers to miracle-working belief, the fruit attribute called faith refers to faithfulness. Man, we could talk about that for a long time. Faithfulness to the prayer room. Faithfulness before service prayer. Faithfulness to worship, faithfulness to praise. Could we not go on and on? But faithfulness. Amen. If you would go about, and I would go about developing true faithfulness, you know what faithfulness produces? It produces an individual full of faith. If you're faithful to God, he'll fill you full of faith. Amen. One cannot be full of faith without being faithful. No matter how many mountains one can move, if he's not dependable, he is of no benefit to God or anybody else. An on-time God wants an on-time people. Praise God. And then number eight is meekness. Amen. Another word for meekness is mildness. Meekness is a long way from weakness. You can be meek without being weak. And so this is not to be confused with cowardice, for some of the world's meekest people have been the boldest people. Humility is a character trait of the meek. Meek people are people that have humility. Now, Jesus said, that's the people that will inherit the earth. Matthew 5:5. Amen. The meek shall inherit the earth. Amen. We know the New Jerusalem is going to come down. We know all of that. We know all about the tribulation, and we know all about the 1,000 years and all of that. And we will sit with him and judge the world. And so if we're going to do that, we must inherit the world. How are we going to inherit the world? Through, somebody help me, meekness. Amen. Praise God. And then number nine is temperance, an attribute that we must form in our relationship with God and our Christian walk with God. In defining this word, Strong's Exhaustive Concordance uses the following phrase: the virtue of one who masters his desire and his passions, especially his sensual appetites. It basically means self-control. Paul said, one who strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. That's when, That's in 1 Corinthians 9 and 25. Praise God. Amen? Praise God. It's not possible to completely separate the fruit of the Spirit from the fruit of the child of God or the Christian. Believers are the branches that bear the fruit of the Spirit. But an effort must be made to show certain distinctions. The fruit of the Spirit is that which God produces in your life, while the fruit of the Christian is what one produces for Christ in this world. I don't want him to waste his time pouring his Spirit out on me and me to take that and make that non-productive and do nothing like I'm supposed to do at all with it. I don't want that to happen with me. Praise God. So the seed is in the fruit. He planted the seed when he baptized you in the Holy Ghost. Produce the fruit. If you produce the fruit, more seed will come. Genesis 1:29 reveals that the fruit is made for human consumption. Therefore, it's God's plan for the fruit to provide a food source for humanity. Yet the real purpose of the fruit is found in Genesis 1:11 and 12, where the fruit is an incubator for the seed. You see all this, how this all this ties together? And the seed is the reproductive part of the tree. So the real power of the fruit is that it carries within itself the power of reproduction. If it's not reproducing, it's time to revisit. Right? In Matthew 23:15, Jesus says that the hypocrite will compass land and sea to make one convert. Listen now. They'll do everything they can to get people on their side, to hear their story, believe them, and walk with them. And the convert is twofold more the child of hell than he who won him. This declares that an individual reproduces himself in others. The fruit one bears contains the seed of reproduction and will only produce a product like itself. The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, the Word of God says. The key word is righteous. A righteous child of God will reproduce himself in this world. This is the fruit of a Christian. Jesus said, as recorded in John 15:8, that to be his disciple, you must bring forth fruit. So fruitfulness is discipleship. It is God's plan for Christians to reproduce themselves in this world. Not to isolate, because that will annihilate. It's a process. That's what will happen. Amen. But we are to reproduce after ourselves. And the thing that we reproduce is what others will see. And that's how they will know whether we are Christian or not. Let's stand together. The first step toward fruitfulness is allowing the fruit of the Spirit to be produced in our life. And I'm going to tell you right now. It's going to be everything that the flesh cannot stand. It'll be everything the flesh does not like. Because this is not born of man. It's born of God. Man's days are few and they're full of trouble. God's days are all through eternity and it's full of heaven. So we need to make that decision now. That no matter what he has for us to do and how to do it, we need to say yes, because we want to produce after our kind. And when we do that and people see it, I want them to call us Christian. Amen. And so in this fruit dwells the seed that holds the power of reproduction. If the fruit of the Spirit is in a person, they will be able to lead others to salvation and a true relationship with Jesus. If not, they will still produce after their kind. I just don't want to waste my time. And I don't want you to waste your time. Why don't we just close our eyes where we're at and turn this whole sanctuary into an altar for just a few moments. And let's ask the Lord to inspect us. Let's ask the Lord to walk through every space, every place. Because regardless as to whether I share it with anybody or not, God knows. And so let's let Him walk. Let's let Him talk. Let's let Him minister. Let's let Him say it. Take Him by the hand. Take Him by the heart. Hallelujah. Mighty God, right now in the name of the Lord, we come before Your presence, humbled, Lord, that You would even take the time to speak to us again. Humbled that You would even share with us once again. Praying, Lord, that help me, God, to make a difference.
Make me more like You.
First in my life and then in the lives of others.
Break me, Lord.
Let me stand for this, Lord, because I don't want to fall for anything. Let me stand for truth. I don't want to fall for a lie. Let me stand for the church because I don't want to fall out. Let me stand for righteousness, Lord, because wrongs, it's very close at hand.
Consume, Lord, with the fire of Your Spirit.
Consume me, Holy Ghost.
Consume me, Lord.
Consume me, Holy Ghost.
Make me more like You.
In Jesus' name.
Break me, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
And bless the broken pieces.
Our relationship with
of
You.
My life.
Above everything else, above all else, anything, anybody, anything,
Lord, by You.
My God, my God, my God, my God, my God, my God. Where You lead me, I'll follow. What You ask me to do, I will do to the best of my ability. I am Yours and You are mine. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. Shake somebody's hand. Greet one another. God bless you tonight as you're dismissed. Thank you so much for being here tonight. Amen. Saturday night prayer, Sunday morning service. Let's have a good time.